really, at first, may not make a lot of sense to you. But when I get to the message this morning, it will. Because I'm going to talk about something that there's a certain part of Daniel that unless you understand what's behind what he said, you may not be able to understand what the final kingdom of the Antichrist is really going to be like. Most of the world today thinks that this final kingdom of Antichrist is going to dominate the whole world. North America, South America, Antarctica, Australia, New Zealand, China, the Hawaii Islands, all the islands, the whole world. I don't think so. And so I'm going to be showing you some things about it. And this kind of is a preliminary to lead into it, so that when I do get to the material in my Sunday school, in our Sunday school lesson, correction, in the preaching, then it'll be much better understood. We're going to talk about corrupting and mingling with God's seed. Corrupting and mingling with God's seed. Now, God, in His Word, puts a lot of stock in the seed of men that are passed down through the ages. Women are not elevated and lifted up to high position in the Bible unless you look in certain areas. And there you see that they are considered and treated as equals throughout the Bible. But it's always the Son of Man. It always seems to be that women are put down. And really in the Bible they are. Corrupting and mingling with God's seed. In Genesis 6, 2, and 3, we're told that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. The sons of God, in this verse of Scripture, represent the descendants of Seth. Now remember, we're already over here in the 6th chapter of Genesis. And in this 6th chapter of Genesis, we've already had the birth of Cain and Abel. We've already had Cain rise up and slew Abel, killed him. And then we've had another seed, Seth, given to Eve. And then God begins to maintain a line of integrity and worship, through the descendants of Seth. So the sons of God are considered to be, this expression means, the descendants of Seth, who are still worshiping God as He wants to be worshipped. And the sons of God saw the daughters of men. Now the daughters of men in this verse of Scripture mean those that descended from Cain. Cain was separated, left the Garden of Eden, left contact with Adam and Eve, and began his own little world, having his own children, and they worshiped God, but they worshiped God the way Cain worshiped God. They worshiped God their way. So the daughters of men refer to those who were worshiping God, our God, but they were not worshiping God the way that God wanted them to worship. And what was happening, the descendants of Seth, many of them, the sons of God, were marrying the daughters of Cain because they were rather beautiful women. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for he also is flesh, and yet his days shall be 120 years. When it says, My spirit shall not always strive with man, it means that God was very irritated. He was irritated because these descendants of Seth, instead of continuing to worship God correctly, were going over and marrying the daughters of the descendants of Cain, who were all worshiping God incorrectly. And so they were actually beginning to fall down and worship the false gods that the descendants of Cain had created. And usually, the woman has more influence on a man than he realizes, and many of these men, just like today, were starting to follow the religion of these women rather than the religion that God had delivered and was trying to maintain through Seth. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. That's Genesis 6, 2, and 3. Now let's go back to Genesis 3:15. Let's back up three chapters to where it all started. Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between thee, the devil, and the woman, Eve, and between thy seed, the seed of the devil, he has seed, they're called tares, and her seed, that's the seed of Christ. It shall bruise thy head, forever crush the power of Satan that he held over man once man sinned and fell, and thou shalt bruise his heel, indicating that in paying the price for our sins, Christ himself would suffer a tremendous punishment, both physically and spiritually. Now let's go to Genesis 4, 16 and 17. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Now, here begins the race of Cain. So you've got two different races on the earth. You've got the descendants of Seth. You've got the descendants of Cain. At this time, you have the descendants of Cain, and Abel was dead. So Cain started up a false system of worship. You'll run into it throughout the Bible. It's called the way of Cain. The way of Cain, over and over again. It means the way of false worship, not worshiping God the way he wants to be worshiped. It doesn't mean that they're not trying to worship the same God that we worship. It's just that they're not worshiping because they're not worshiping him the way that God wants to be worshiped. They worship him through idols and through many other illusions, through witchcraft and a multiplicity of other things. But they were not worshiping God, so the integrity line, religious integrity, was not being maintained by the sons of Seth like it should be. And Cain knew his wife. This is 4:16-17. And she conceived and bare Enoch, and he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. And these people that came from Cain were very, 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 very materialistic. They were very world-oriented. That is the way of Cain. They had tremendous success. Instead of taking their inner being, their inner abilities, their inner characteristics that God had given them and worshiping God with them, they were worshiping the world by using all their talents that they had gotten from God to procure and secure worldly blessings, worldly materialistic goods for themselves. They built huge cities. They built magnificent statues to worship. They were very industrious, hardworking people and eminently successful in the ways of the world. But they were quite different, and that isn't what God intended for man to do. God intended for man to worship him, to depend on him, to trust him, so he could be their God and they could be his people. But the descendants of Cain, unfortunately, followed the way of Cain, and they were just like Cain. And religiously, they were not worshiping God as they should. Now let's take a look at Genesis 4, 25, 26. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. Now, through Seth, God was going to maintain a religious line. Now God knew that some of Seth's descendants would go astray, but God intended to preserve a line through Seth that would continue to worship him correctly, not sinlessly. God knew man was going to sin. God knows man's character. But at least man, even though he's sinful, can still learn to worship God according to God's instructions, and the descendants of Seth were supposed to be that line. And Adam knew his wife again. She bare a son and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed. See that another seed? Way back up here in Genesis 3:15, where he said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. Now, that's the seed, the eventual messianic seed, Jesus Christ, that is supposed to come out of the line of Seth. Now, it was absolutely essential that God, in order that he might be just and the justifier of them which believe in Jesus, that the Messiah, he must maintain a line of men, of families that have worshipped God correctly down through Christ. He said, for God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel. That doesn't mean there weren't going to be some defections along the way, but it means that God was going to maintain a single line all the way down. And he could have maintained many lines, but most of them started marrying the daughters of Cain, intermingling with them, and the way of Cain was maintained. But the way of Seth, it had a lot of obstacles, because the devil wanted to wipe out the line of Seth, and he wanted to make the descendants of Seth stop worshiping him correctly. But God said, she hath appointed me another seed, Genesis 4:25-26, whom Cain slew. Now, verse 26, and to Seth, he was that seed. To him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Now, after Seth was born, Adam and Eve thought that Seth was the Messiah. They thought that Seth was the promised seed, and somehow God was going to use him to bruise the serpent's power in the head. But all of a sudden, he comes up and he has a son. And to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Now that complicates the problem. Now you've got two seeds. Which one is it going to be? It was at this point that they began to realize, hey, it may be the second one. It may be the first one. Maybe there's other seed to come. Maybe this is way down on the line. Well, what are we going to do in the meantime? He answers it. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. That's when they began to call upon the name of the Lord for the promised seed. Because they had no idea at that time. They finally realized it's not Seth, it's going to be someone on down the line. Now let's take a look at Genesis 6, 1 through 3. Now remember, we started off from 6, 2, and 3. Now we're going to, and we went through 3, 15, 4, 16, 17, 4, 25, 26. Now we're here at the point where man's beginning to spread across the earth. Genesis 6, 1 through 3. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. There weren't a lot of daughters at first, but you began to have daughters born unto them. And as the daughters were born unto them, what happened? Well, that the sons of God, verse 2, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair. Instead of marrying within their own race, within their own line of descent, within a line of worship that was maintaining the original way that God told them to worship, they began to marry the daughters of men, who were the descendants of Cain. So the sons of God were the sons of Seth that were maintaining the correct line of worship, and the daughters of men were the descendants of Cain. And because they were worshiping these false gods, whenever these sons of God would marry them, a lot of times the son of God would start worshiping the same idols. And the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Verse 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. Now, notice what he says, continuing in Genesis 6, 9 through 13. Notice he mentions generations. These are the generations of Noah. God flooded the entire earth. Why? Because they were getting close to actually having nothing but false worship. There was so intermingling and so much intermarriage going on between the actual sons of God, the descendants of Seth, and the daughters of Cain, that it was getting to the point where if God didn't do something, there wouldn't be a single line, a single seed, a single family through which God could actually say, this has been a generation that has been faithful to me. So after he flooded the earth, here's what he said. These are the generations of Noah. Well, actually, this is before. There was a just man. That doesn't mean he was perfect. How are we justified? We're justified by grace through faith. Cain was not justified by grace through faith, nor were his descendants that were worshiping false idols. They were being justified by works. Noah was a man who was justified by faith in God and who worshiped God correctly. And when it says, and perfect in his generations, that doesn't mean he didn't sin. It means that he was perfect in the way that he worshiped and his fathers before him had worshiped correctly. And so at this point in time, it's getting so bad, and the earth is becoming so corrupt because of so much intermarriage between false religion and true religion, that God floods the entire earth, and he picks out this one man, Noah, and he finds grace in God's eyes because Noah believed in grace. He believed in grace through faith, and he believed in God. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in generation, and Noah walked with God. You see, when you walk with God, it means you worship him correctly. You say, well, now, Brother Michael Murray, when you're saved, you walk with God. Ha, ha, ha. Come on. You know better than that. How many people on this church row come to church infrequently? How many of them just show up maybe once or twice a year? They're not walking with God. There are people right now in this church row that aren't walking with God. But they're just as saved as you and I are. This means he worshiped God correctly. His forefathers, perfect in his generations before him, he was a justified man by God, and the others were justified by works. That's why God flooded the earth, because of false worship infiltrating God's true worship. And that's why this age is going to end also, that we're in. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now Shem was the one to whom the seed was to come, not Ham and not Japheth. Now look at what happens, continuing in Genesis 6, 9 through 13. The earth also was corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted. Now notice, most people say, oh, it was because of their sins it was corrupt. Well, that's partially true. But here's the real reason. It was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way. Now, God's way means that you worship him correctly. When we say that we follow the faith once delivered to the saints, the faith is the way. And back in that time, because of intermarriage between false religion women from the line of Cain and true religion men who were trying to worship God according to the instructions that were given, that were through Seth, the line of Abel, if you will, even though he was dead, You are getting a corruption of the way you worship God and the corruption of God's way. The first thing that Cain did, the sin that Cain committed, he corrupted God's way. And all his descendants corrupted his way. It was a salvation by works program. Now notice in verse 13, "And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them." That is what the problem is on this earth today. You say, it's sin. I know it's sin. I realize it's sin. But what kind of sin? It's the love of material things. It's using the talents that God gave you, one, to work your way to heaven, and two, to enjoy all the wonderful material things that are down here while you're waiting for him to come from heaven. "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth." You've heard me teach many times how he destroyed the earth. And he did. Why? Because of false religion. You say, "Well, Brother Michael Murray, it's sin." What do you think causes false religion? It's sin in the man. Even though I'm sinful, I'm saved. And even though I'm sinful, I have Christ living in me. And even though I'm sinful, I'm under God's grace. And even though I'm sinful with Christ in me, I can worship God correctly the way God said. And God holds me accountable for that. But these people, they just worship any God they wanted. They might have even called it our God. Now notice what is written in Genesis 15, 3 through 6. "And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is thine heir, Eliezer, his servant. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. He said, I'm going to give you a seed. Now this was impossible, because Sarah was barren. So this was an impossible task. It could not be done. It was impossible for a woman to bear a child that was barren. And so how could this happen? Well, Abraham didn't know, but Abraham believed God. Verse 5, "And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now unto heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, So shall thy seed be. He said, I'm going to give you a seed. And he said, All of the descendants of that seed are going to be so numerous that you won't be able to number them." Now here's a man married to a woman that's barren. He's an old man. Sarah's an old woman. It's not just some mechanical flaw. It's not just something that she can't have children from youth. It means that she's barren in her old age and can't have kids. Verse 6, "And he believed in the Lord, and he counted him for righteous." That's grace. That's grace. Wonder why, all of a sudden, God decides that he's going to pick Abraham out. Well, I'm sure there are a lot of reasons, but I would say the foremost one was this. Apparently from the time of Seth to Noah, from the time of Seth down through Noah, down through Shem, Noah's son, all the way down through Abraham, they had continued to worship God correctly. But all of a sudden, a man named Terah comes along. And Terah was Abraham's father. And the Bible says that he worshiped idols. So when God saw Terah beginning to worship idols, he had not worshiped idols up until that point. And then all of a sudden, God jumps and gets Abraham, Terah's son, and he pulls Abraham out, and he maintains this line of integrity, because apparently when Abraham was born, Terah wasn't worshiping idols. But when Terah began to be corrupt, then God pulled Abraham out of the whole mess and maintained the integrity of the line. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Now look unto heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham. Now this is the Abrahamic covenant, a promise involving land. It involves salvation. It involves grace through faith. But it also involves a land mass. And the land mass is unconditional. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. Now, I've shown you that on maps and charts so many times, you practically feel like you've walked across it several times. Now, what we're talking about is maintaining the integrity of seed. This was a perfect line of worship. Adam, Seth, Enoch, Noah, Shem, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, David, Zerubbabel, Eli, who was the father of Mary. Now, did any of these men sin Every single one of them. Did any of these men ever make horrible mistakes? Every single one of them. But did any of them ever switch over to idolatry? No. They maintained a correct worship of God throughout their entire lives, and God maintained the integrity of this line. Now, let's go on and continue. Now we're going to take a look at another corruption. Genesis 10, 1 through 10. Now these are generations of the sons of Noah. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Shem, I believe, was Melchizedek. And you've seen why I believe that, and I've shown you the proof of it. But Shem maintained the integrity of worship. Ham did not. Neither did Japheth. Noah only had three sons. So you have the entire world's population here. Noah, his wife, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and their sons, a total of 8 people. So here's what God's got to work with. This is the one that's going to maintain the integrity and keep the correct way of worship as God's seed. And of them were born sons after the flood, the sons of Japheth. Remember those characters that I'm always talking about in Ezekiel, the 38th chapter? Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshach, and Tyrus. They went back to worshiping idols. They went out and became known as the heathen. And they were the ones that worshiped idols, false gods, the whole shtick. Verse 3. And the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, Riphah, Togarmah, remember them from Ezekiel? They're the ones that went out and became the Gentiles, heathen nations of the world, worshiping false gods. And the sons of Javan, Elisha, and Tarsus, and Kittim, and Dodanim. All of these became corrupt, all of them. And they were all the descendants of Japheth. By these are the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands. They became known as the heathen, the Gentiles, to the Israelis, the descendants of Shem. The Israelis are the descendants of Shem. Everyone after his own tongue and their families in their nations. Now, what about Ham? Did his become corrupt? Brother, you better believe they became corrupt. And the sons of Ham, Cush and Mizraim and Put and Canaan. And the sons of Cush, Sheba, Havilah, Saptah, Ramah, Saptah, and the sons of Ramah, Sheba and Dedan. Every one of them became corrupt. And Cush begat Nimrod. Nimrod was the greatest wicked one of them all. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord, wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod the mighty hunter before the Lord. This man personified materialistic worship of false gods and someone trying to worship the true God falsely. All of these, the descendants of Ham and Japheth, became religiously correct. This has nothing to do whatsoever with the color of a man's skin. It has absolutely nothing to do with the color of the man's skin. But what happened? Well, the descendants of Ham departed more into idolatry than the others. And because of that, many times Ham is picked upon as God not liking Ham because his descendants were black and swarthy. That isn't true at all. What God didn't like about them were they departed into idolatry. What God didn't like about the descendants of Japheth, they departed into idolatry. But here comes Shem. Now, did all of Shem's descendants maintain a religious way of worship correctly? No. But God maintained a line out of Shem that did. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, Babylonia, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calneh, and the land of Shinar. You've seen me teach on this many times concerning the book of Micah. Now, we go back to Genesis 16, 1 through 4, we just pointed out all of these people went back to idolatry. Now let's go to Genesis 16, 1 through 4. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children, but she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. Now God had made a promise to Abraham, and Abraham believed him. You don't think a woman can influence a man? A man is more influenced by a woman than he realizes. My wife can get me just to do about anything, but I'm in charge of the house. And I've decided to do whatever she wants me to do. Women are very, very clever and conniving in what they do. And some of them are just as sweet as pie, and they'll never admit it. But you can pretty well get a man to do what you want, unless he's a brutalizer or something, some guy that's psyched out in his head. And so this was something that, this wasn't Abram's idea. I'm not trying to get the man off the hook. He went along with it. You know, I know a lot of guys have probably gone along with it. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. God didn't intend for them to marry Egyptians. Why? Egyptians were, what people worshiped more false gods than anybody else? The Egyptians. And if not the Egyptians, the ones that went over and settled in Nimrod's area, the Babylonians. They had more false gods than the ticks got fleas, or dogs got fleas. And Sarah said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee go in unto my maid, it may be that I may obtain children by her. He said, go in and get her pregnant. And Abraham hearkened. I don't know if it sounded like a good idea to Abraham, but he hearkened to the voice of Sarah. And Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. This was a violation of what God had said to Abraham, and it showed the complete lack of faith that God had, that Abraham had in God. Well, you worship false religion, and you worship idols. It shows how little confidence you have in God, and how much confidence you have in something you can see, taste, touch, and feel, and your own ability. That's really what we're talking about here. So Abram went into Hagar. She had a child. His name was Ishmael. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And I would imagine so. Here's a woman that's done something she can't do, and nothing makes a woman madder. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and thou shalt bear a child, and call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. Okay, what's the problem? Ishmael had 12 sons. He had 12 sons. And all of them went into false religion. And that is the major contributor to the Islamic faith today, which is a derivative of different types of false worship that have been going on ever since Cain. And it just so happens that the prophet Muhammad, who's is the prophet of Allah. There is one God, and his name is Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. That's what they say over and over again when you try to talk to them. And it's nothing but a derivative of the original way of Cain. It's salvation by works. And he will be a wild man. You see this wild man expression? If you want to clean it up, you can say he was a wild donkey. More correct, he was a wild ass. That's what a donkey is. And if you ever watch television, and you watch those men over there shouting those guns, jumping up and down and screaming, and the little children doing the same thing, shouting and jumping up and down with guns, that's a bunch of wild asses if I've ever seen it. And they are well named after their forefather. They are emotional magnets. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And he's been dwelling in the presence of all his brethren, in the fourth of his descendants, and he has been the one that has given Israel the most trouble. Genesis 18:1-14. And the Lord appeared to him in the plains of Mamre. This is the Lord appearing to Abram. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him, and Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken with age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? She says, it's going to be like when we were young. And the Lord said unto Abram, wherefore did Sarah laugh? Why did Sarah laugh? Saying, I of a surety bear a child, which I'm old. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return to thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. You say, well, it seems to me God would have withdrawn that promise after Sarah laughed. Listen, when God makes a promise, God keeps it. This was an unconditional promise. He said, I'm going to give you a son. And he gave him a son. But man messed the whole thing up. Abraham went into Hagar and had a son from Egyptian. And they were all false worshipers, and that's what the Islamic faith basically came out of. I know it was formed by Muhammad. I understand that. But it's nothing but a derivative of the way of Cain, which goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Genesis 25:1. Now here Abraham does it again. Then again Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. And she bare him Zimran, and Jokshan, and Medan, and Midian, and Ishbak, and Shua. 6 more sons. And they had sons, and they had sons, and they had sons, and sons, and sons, and sons. And what are all these? False worshipers. False worshipers. Abraham was a direct descendant of Shem. God wanted to make sure that he brought one seed through that didn't corrupt his way of worship. And praise God. I thank God from the depths of my soul, because God was the only one who could have done this. Through all this maze of confusion that Abraham and Sarah created, 12 sons in false religion, 6 more sons in false religion, and you've got all of this confusion, and they're all going into false worship, the way of Cain. But God decided through Shem, he would at least bring the... Did other descendants of Shem marry in with this bunch? You better believe they did. And Abram, now this really pleased all these other sons. And Abram gave all he had unto Isaac. But under the sons of the concubines, this is Genesis 25, 1 and 2, 5 and 6, which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son, where he yet lived in the east country. They sent over to the east country. Do you know what the occupants of Morocco, Tunisia, Algeria, Libya, Egypt, the whole Saudi Arabian Peninsula and all the Arab Emirates around it, Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, well, not so much Jordan, they're descendants of Moab and Lot, but that's a different story. Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan. Do you know what all these people are? They're the descendants of these corrupted religious believers. That's why we've got all the problem in the Middle East. Don't you dare try and blame this on God. You want to blame it on somebody? Blame it on Sarah and Abraham. You say, well, if I'd have been there, I'd have been different. No, you'd have done the same thing they did. But God, in spite of our inadequacies, has preserved a way where he can be just and the justifier of them which believe in Jesus. Daniel 2, 41, 44. Now we're finally getting down to where I want to do this. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron. This was a great statue that Nebuchadnezzar dreamed in a vision, and Daniel interpreted what each part of the statue was. Daniel told him the head of gold was his empire. Then he told him the shoulders below the head and down around the chest were the of an empire that would be inferior to his, but nevertheless would overpower it, overrun it, and it would have 2 sections. It's called the Medo-Persian Empire. It had 2 arms, Medo and Persian, one empire. And it arose. Then after that, the waist, band, thighs, areas, was the empire of Alexander the Great that was to come, the Macedonian Empire. And he begins to talk about this great statue. And they talked about the legs. They were the Roman Empire, very strong, made of iron. One represented the western part of it, the Orthodox portion, the Roman Catholic portion, and the other represented the eastern portion, the Orthodox section. Then he got down to the toes. Now, when he got down to the toes, I want you to look at this kingdom. Dismiss from your mind what you've heard Hal Lindsey, Jack Van Impe, TDQFOBCODFOBNIOU say, and just let the Bible say what it has to say. These are the toes of the statue. See if this sounds like this great empire of the Antichrist is supposed to dominate the whole world. North America, South America, Antarctica, China, Alaska, all the islands in the sea. All the earth as we know it today. And whereas that saw the feet and toes, 10 toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron. The kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron. Did you ever see out in the field? Well, you've probably never seen it. But a lot of back in Israel, you'll see a bunch of wild donkeys. You turn them all out in the field, they'll start kicking and rearing and jumping up and down. And it's the biggest mess you ever saw in your life when you first turn them into the field. That's exactly what these are. They're wild asses. He said, but there shall be in it the strength of the iron. The kingdom's going to be divided. You can't get those Arabs together. Those descendants will not get together. But there's one thing that's going to put them together, God. For as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with mire and clay, that does not sound to me like much of an empire. Part of it is iron, part of it is clay. It doesn't hold together. These nations don't get along together. That is the Islamic empire that is currently arising. Look at verse 42, Daniel 21, 41 to 44. And as the toes and the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. How would you like to have a kingdom that was partly strong and partly broken, that could not mix together? Now, notice this next verse. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, two things that don't mix, trying to mix together and hold up all the empires of the past. they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. Well, guess who the 12 sons of Ishmael mingled with? They mingled with the 6 sons of Keturah. And guess who the 6 sons of Keturah and the sons of Ishmael mingled with? They mingled with the descendants of Ham, and they mingled with the descendants of Japheth. You want to know what you call that? Gentiles. A bunch of people that came from Noah and have corrupted themselves through false religions. That's what that's talking about. Now, a lot of times down through history, we've tried to make the Roman Catholic Church and bring the nations out of the Roman Empire. It won't work. What the corruption was the mingling together with the seed of men, a promise that God had made, but Sarah and Abraham tampered with it. And then Sarah went ahead and had 6 more sons. And all of this is what you have today in the Middle East. The followers of the Islamic faith, by and large, are the descendants of the 6 sons of Keturah, Ishmael, and all of their intermixture between themselves, as well as the intermixture with the sons of Japheth and Ham. And some of the sons of Shem have departed into this mess. So what did God do in all of this absolute confusion? God has maintained a system of worship that started with Abraham, Seth, Enoch, Noah, Shem, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, David, Zerubbabel, Eli, and Mary. That maintained the worship. Was Mary saved by grace? Absolutely. By grace through faith. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that's why I harp continually about us as God's people in this church, living the faith. What is the faith? It is the way of God. What is anything else? It is the way of Cain. There's only one way to worship, God's way. And these people, in their day and time, worshiped the way God wanted to be worshiped. Now, God expects us to do the same. But that's not a strong empire. But they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. That's Christ coming. Now, I would like to go on and finish this, but I simply can't, because it's time to quit. You've seen me do it many times. God indicated that God uses hyperbole. He uses hyperbole a lot. He said that the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar would cover wherever men dwell. He said that. Yet it wasn't in Alaska. It wasn't in South America. It wasn't in Asia. He said, where all people dwell, all the earth. Yet he didn't cover all the earth as we know it today. He said the same thing of the Macedonian Empire of Alexander the Great. He said it would dominate the whole world. But it only dominated as far over into North Africa and all over to India. That's a hyperbole. God uses that as an exaggeration. You say, well, God doesn't exaggerate. Hyperbole is perfectly allowable in the Bible, and it's used quite frequently, and it is inspired. And God said that the empire of the Romans would dominate all the world, all the earth. But it did not. Neither will the Antichrist. It will dominate the same area that the Roman Empire and Alexander the Great's empire covered at its greatest height. But the Antichrist is not going to control this country. The Antichrist is going to have absolute control over the portion known as the old Roman Empire. But he's not going to dominate this country. He's not going to dominate South America and Canada. Now, I had some choices to make along the way when I started doing these lecture series. Are you going to tell people what you believe, or are you going to tell people what they want to hear? And I'll tell you what, if you don't tell them what they want to hear, you've got a lot of trouble. But I'd rather have a lot of trouble with people and less trouble with God. So we'll take a little short break and come back for church.